Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
I want to ask everybody a very personal question. Everybody. Who's piloting your family? The culture, the schools, their friends? Let me tell you something, folks. The father in the pilot seat, the mother in the co-pilot seat, and they can exchange feet. I'm going to tell you, if we're going to survive in this generation, we better wake up.
The truth is, without objective truth, your family's foundation will crumble. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young wraps up his message, Building Strong Families, and uncovers why you must start with the truth of God's Word to build a lasting foundation for your family. It's a powerful message, so don't go anywhere. That's up next. Before we get to today's message, we want to tell you about a timely resource from Dr. Young called Healing Broken America. This powerful book identifies the five areas where America has lost its way and offers practical biblical remedies to these vital issues. We'll send you Dr. Young's book as our thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and others all over the world through this program. So call today to request your copy of Healing Broken America when you give, and discover how you can be a catalyst for the revival, renewal, and refreshment of our nation. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Building Strong Families.
You're the one the Old Testament has promised. You are God in human flesh, fulfilling all prophecy to instruct us and give us the way of salvation now and salvation forever. You are the Messiah. How did Jesus respond? He said, Peter, flesh and blood didn't tell you this. You didn't come through it by logic. The Holy Spirit led you to say this. And on Peter's profession of faith, not on Peter, we're not part of the Catholic Church. On your profession of faith, said Jesus, I will build my church, my body of activity in the world, my church. And he says, the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. But the church has to be the church. You say, well, what's happening in our society? Man, here you have, I've already talked about before where the gates of hell are located. Don't forget it. There's the gates of hell in front of our educational system. There's the gates of hell before our corporate structure. There's the gates of hell before the media. There's the gates of hell wherever you turn. It says the church will not prevail. In other words, the gates of hell can't keep the church out. The problem is the church has been so dead and complacent, they haven't even tried to get in. You and the church can be complicit in all of this. We just join up. I'm just part of it. You know, I want to go against the streams of history. What a stupid statement. Well, I'm just complicit. A lot of churches, a lot of people are complicit. Oh, yeah, I want to get with the program. I want to get with the program. And a lot are complacent. Man, I don't want to rock the boat. I don't want to get in an argument. I don't want to stir up any problems. I'm going to just keep complacent. And we take the same advice that Sam Rayburn gave to John Kennedy when he went in the House. Mr. Kennedy asked, well, what can I do up here in Congress? And Rayburn said, well, the way you get along, you go along. Washingtonian philosophy that is deadly then and deadly today. So, you're either complicit, you've joined in, or you're complacent, or you're courageous. Are you tired of stooping, folks? If there's ever a time in history, it is a time for God's people to stand now. Church built, a family built on sand will not survive when the storms come. But built on that profession of faith in Jesus Christ. And by the way, let me just tell you something. A lot of people can tell you about, you know, I've had an experience with Jesus. I've had experiences with Jesus. You know the thing about experience with Jesus? It comes and goes.
Oh, yeah.
It's subjective. I had an experience with Jesus. Boy, it happened at Beach Retreat. It happened on a mountain. It happened in church. It happened in Sunday school. It happened right away. I had an experience with Jesus. That's all great. I've had a lot of experience with Jesus. Many of you have. But I can tell you something. That's not enough. Because an experience of Jesus is subjective. You can't debate with me about my experience with Jesus. I can't debate with you. But I'll tell you what, when the storms come, you'd better have more than just a subjective number of experience with Jesus. You'd better have the fact of Jesus. You see, facts are objective. We'd better have the life of Jesus and his teaching, which we're able to follow when we're in Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and we better understand the crucifixion of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus. Those are facts. That's objectivity. And on those facts, we have experiences, and our experiences lead to facts. And I'll tell you, our young people, when they go to college, they go, oh, I had an experience with Jesus. No, they'd better have the facts of Jesus, or they'll be shredded in that woke environment, or you're being shredded in your woke environment. Know the difference between subjectivity and objectivity? Let me see if I can find an illustration. Let me see. To look around for one. Stand up, please, my brother. This tie, can you see it, is basically red. It's not quite as red as mine. Maybe it's the same tie. Where'd you get that tie? Everybody agree that red is enough? Thank you very much. Is that okay? It's red. Now, I'm going to take that as an objective truth. Nobody doubts that this tie is primary red. Do you? Anybody want to debate that now? Speak now, forever hold your peace. It's red, okay? That's objective truth, okay? Now, I want to go down and ask somebody else a question. That's objective truth, right? You can't hardly debate. That means that light reflects off this particular material in this area as red. Okay, not too fast, anybody, am I? Okay, that's objective truth. Now I want to tell you about subjective truth. Let's move down and ask some questions. What's your favorite ice cream?
Bluebell vanilla.
Let's just take vanilla. Bluebell is subjective. I agree with you, but vanilla. Mine is strawberry. That's subjective. He's wrong, I'm right. No, I'm right, he's wrong. No, that's subjective. Red is objective. Now, you have to understand this truth. We're going to get postmodernism sooner or later, and I'm going to explain what that means. It's relative to this, but we want to get a little nap before breakfast in the morning. So, when you say, I've had an experience or experience with Jesus, that's fine. That's subjective. But that's feeling, and they come and go, right? Man, when you build it on the rock, objective truth, the teaching, the life, the crucifixion, the resurrection of Jesus, you can't argue that red is red. You can debate ice cream. So on that rock, said Jesus, on your profession of faith into who I am and what I'm about, that is where your salvation stands. And ladies and gentlemen, you can call yourself Christian till you're blue in the face. Say, I had an experience with Jesus. I walked down the aisle. I was baptized. I was confirmed. I had a membership this. I taught a class. Doesn't mean a difference in the world. That is words. That is subjectivity, unless your experience of Jesus is based upon objective truth. And that will be there forever and is undebatable. And if you run around and say, boy, I love Jesus, but I don't like his church. Oh, that's like saying, I love to swim and I got a pool in my backyard, but I never jump in. Man, I love to go to the mountains and I have many chances to go, but you know, I just hardly ever go. Does that make sense to anybody? Does that ring true? That's hearing and professing. That's subjectivity, but objectivity is, man, that's just where I want to be and to whom I want to belong. Built on the rock, solid rock, which is Jesus Christ. That's what has to be in a marriage and a family if it is not only to survive, but it is to thrive and it is to sing. So, a family built on sand, slammed, crumbles. A family built on rock, slammed, stands. What's the difference? The foundation. The foundation. Over 80 times in the Bible, the word foundation is mentioned. Over 80 times. And Jesus says, it's the foundation. Is it sand or rock? I go to your house, your home, one room, 700 rooms. Doesn't make any difference. When I go in, I look at the decor and I look at, you know, just casually how you live and it's comfortable and it's fine. You don't go in and say, I want to show you my foundation. My house, look at here. But what's the most important thing? It's the unseen foundation, ladies and gentlemen. And we don't notice we have a foundation until cracks begin to come. Maybe a fissure begins to come. And somehow the house begins to tilt a little bit. You say, my goodness, I have foundational problems. What's the foundation, the genuine foundation of your life and your family and who you are and who I am? The Leaning Tower of Pisa, not pizza. The Leaning Tower of Pisa, it had been erected way back and finished in about 1300, and it already began to lean back then. Why? The word Pisa means marsh. It was built on marshy land. And the foundation only 10 feet down. It's 179 feet high. It began to lean. It was leaning until fairly recently, a few years ago, they went in and reestablished the foundation or it would have fallen down. It would have fallen down. A lot of people need not just to hear what Christ is saying to us today in this woke culture. We need to awaken and check our foundation. Our faithfulness, our discipline, our walk, our ABC Christianity that is based certainly on experience with Jesus. Don't misunderstand that, but it's based on the fact of Jesus. That's objective truth. On objective truth, we can have wonderful, emotional, life-changing experiences. It's the foundation. I haven't told this story to maybe a handful of people. But almost 19 years has gone by. I want to tell you how important a foundation is, not only in a family, but in a business or a corporation. I knew Ken Lay, CEO of Enron. At one time, the seventh largest corporation in the world. Let me say up front, to my knowledge, Enron or Ken Lay never gave any money to this church or to me. I have to say that. Some of you would know that. I'm just going to say that as a presupposition of what I'm going to tell you. I knew Ken because of family and employees in the church. I knew him primarily when the bottom fell out in Houston, all these hurricanes that would come, all the SOS things would come. Enron led and was the example of charity giving, personally and corporate, in every kind of crisis, every kind of nonprofit in this city for a long time. I know that. That's true. He set the pace for Exxon and all the rest of them. I know that. So I knew Ken through that because our church, as you know, has always rolled up our sleeves and cleaned houses and done whatever it takes to love the people when the bottom had fallen out of their life, right? That's just who we are, folks. We've always been there with our money and with our sweat. So Enron had imploded. I've read the book. I didn't know a lot about their business. I knew they were moving from tangible assets to some kind of paper assets. They advertised they had hired the best and the brightest, and I think you see evidence of that in some areas. But all of a sudden, there was a wake-up one day. They owed over $30 billion. Their stockholders thought they were booming, but in actuality, they were totally bankrupt and failing and going out of business. So in almost zigzag lightning time, the whole house of cards came down. Zip, boom. The sign on the building was sold, auction was sold, the goods were sold. All of a sudden, there's this magnificent building in Houston and other entities around the world, literally, India, China, you name it. It was all gone. The thesis was that the stockholders did not know the condition. This is before all the trials were held and sentences were pronounced. But at that moment when the building was virtually empty and stripped, I got a call from Ken Lay. He asked me to come up there at, I don't know, like 10 o'clock at night. I drove up there, went to the elevator, and as far as I know, there was not a living soul in that building except security guards and Mr. Lay. I got on the elevator, I went up to his office. He was seated at his desk alone, nobody there. I walked in. Lights were very dim. It was very, I don't know if any light were on except the light on his desk. I greeted him, sat down, we talked a little bit. And he said, Pastor, and I was not his pastor, but said, I want to show you something. So he reached in the desk, and he pulled out the mission statement of Enron. And he read it to me, and I read it. And I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not a scholar on the mission statement of a corporation, but I challenge anyone to write one better than the mission statement they had as to how Enron was to work, operate, perform for people, for the public, for their employees. It was a magnificent statement of how a corporation ought to operate in this world. I couldn't improve on it. Maybe some of you could. I couldn't. It was wonderful. And after he read it and I read it in a darkened room, he said, this is the foundation upon which this corporation was built. Some of the conversation was private. We knelt and prayed in tears. I walked out, left him in that semi-darkened room alone. The elephant in the room, you already know what it is. The question that was not asked, what happened to Enron? Very simple. There was a statement of foundation that was not lived up to was not applied, was not reminded people of, was not hired of. They lost their foundation. And that can happen in a family. It can happen in one of the most powerful corporations in the world. And it can happen anytime, anywhere. It is the foundation, ladies and gentlemen, that we have to remember is built on the rock of Jesus Christ. If anything, it's to stand in the realm of the family. It was 9:41 a.m. in Hawaii, and a GO airliner, little commuter airline there in the islands, was flying from Honolulu to Hilo on the Big Island. The airliner was full of families, honeymooners, commuters, joyful spirit early in the morning, going to the Big Island, my goodness. Clear skies. But as they, it was about a 44-minute flight, but as they got toward Hilo, a father on the plane with his wife and his children on vacation, they noticed the plane continued to fly altitude about 21, 22,000 feet and went right over the airport, and he noticed and he said, you know, that's weird. They're just continuing to go. There's no weather, but they're just continuing to fly out to sea. And he noticed that. His last name was Lenning. He began to question some things, and what he did not know, for 17 minutes, air traffic controllers had been trying to get communication with the two pilots of the plane, and they'd had no response. The plane had fuel to fly only 90 miles. And they just flew right over the airport. They were heading out into the Pacific Ocean, soon being unable to turn back. And they kept trying to contact them and contact them. I don't know if the flight attendants, through Mr. Lennon, began to knock on the door. Finally, they heard from the pilots because they had both gone to sleep. Dead asleep. Fortunately, they awakened and they turned around and they put all the other airplanes going to Maui and the Big Island to the side because they got back with just enough fuel to come and land the plane safely. I want to ask everybody a very personal question. Everybody. Who's piloting your family? The culture, the schools, their friends? Let me tell you something, folks. The father in the pilot seat, the mother in the co-pilot seat, and they can exchange feet. I'm going to tell you, if we're going to survive in this generation, we better wake up.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Jesus gave us clear instructions in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, if you want a home that is built on a solid foundation, one that can withstand the storms that will inevitably come, you must be a wise individual who builds his house upon the rock, which is Jesus Christ. We not only hear his words, but we put them into practice in our daily lives. This is the beginning of building a foundation that will stand.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has encouraged you with the proven truth of God's Word, and we'd love to strengthen you further with a powerful book by Dr. Young. It's called Healing Broken America. In it, Dr. Young clearly defines the five areas where America has lost its way and offers some common sense, biblically based remedies for bringing a nation back from the brink. This timely resource is our thanks for your gift of support to keep this program going strong. So call now to request Healing Broken America when you give to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call 1-800-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for being here on The Winning Walk today. Come back tomorrow as Dr. Young begins a message all about where you can go to find truth you can trust.